everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us, Ariel and
Raylene. Hello.
Wow. Hello. Welcome to the podcast. I'm here in the city of Toronto. So I wanted to say from coast to coast, but it's not true today.
Oh.
I'm not at the other coast. And technically, Lake Ontario is grand. But it's not grand enough.
Nope. Not even close.
So today we thought we'd have some fun and do a book tag. Yeah, when we started the podcast, well, that's a long origin story, actually. There's more layers there. There was a sad version of this podcast that was only me. It didn't have Raylene's beautiful spark.
Yeah, must have sucked.
But... But when we started it, we were like really adamant with one another that we were like, let's occasionally do random fun episodes, like let's just do whatever we want to do on the pod. And
yeah,
you know, sometimes you just get into a pattern and a routine, but lately we're like, let's mix it up a little bit. So today we're doing a tag.
Ooh,
this
so
is gonna be fun. Yeah. So this is, well, it goes by two names, it would appear. I discovered.
Yeah.
So I found this tag called the Mood Reader Tag on a person, a booktuber called A Book Olive, I really think. I'll link her video down below. And then I went hunting for the original. The original is from a channel called Slanted Spines. I watched some of their videos. Great videos. So everyone go check out Slanted Spines. But they called the tag the Moody Reader Tag. Or no, the Moody Book Tag. So there you go. I've talked through the controversy. Everyone knows.
We're all caught up.
I'll link both of them in the show notes of this episode. But these are all questions about like mood reading. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's just jump into it, right, Raylene?
All of
this crap aside, let's go. Number one, question one. Wow, this is a heavy hitter. Do you consider yourself a mood reader? And I will add on to that. And how do you define a mood reader?
Yeah, this is super interesting. I am 100% a mood reader in that, like, it's so hard for me to pick what to read next sometimes because it depends on what kind of mood I'm in. I sometimes don't know what I'm in the mood for. Mm. Like, to me, I guess being a mood reader is, you know, if you read one book and then once you finish it, it might completely change the mood you're in and like change what book you want to read next. Mm-hmm. So it can, you know, some people who aren't mood readers, I assume, can just like look at their shelves and be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll read that one. Like just pick any random book. But for me, I can't do that because I have to like carefully assess, like, is now the right moment for this book? Am I in the right mood for this book? Is it going to be the right vibe? Is it what I want? Like, I overthink it a lot, which I think makes me a moody reader for sure. Like, I can't just decide I want to read that book and I'm going to do it because sometimes I'm like, no, it's not the right time.
Right.
It's not the right time. So I'm just like really wishy-washy, I guess. That's another way to look at being a mood reader, at least for myself.
Wishy-washy readers?
I'm a wishy-washy reader. Yeah, I have such a hard time picking what to read next because there's just too many options. I also love like so many different genres, which is also a problem for me. Because sometimes I'm like, am I in the mood for fantasy or am I in the mood for contemporary? Or am I in the mood for horror or am I in the mood for nonfiction? And it's just like so hard to know.
Yeah.
What about you?
I really agree. I'm definitely a mood reader. And I guess one way that I define mood reader is by kind of, like you said, like looking at the opposite. I have friends, many friends, who I would say are like list readers. And basically they've like created a list. And that might be like, right now I want to read all my romance books. Or like, I have a specific TBR for August or whatever, right? And they have some form of list. And they just go through it. And that does not make any sense for my brain.
Yeah.
I remember, because like I've been making book videos on the internet for 10 years now. Woo! And I remember when people started making like TBR videos.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, these are the books I want to read in June. I think I did that twice. And I actually remember the last one I ever did.
Oh, yeah.
November 2012. I tried doing a TBR for November and like abysmally failed. And it was just because that is not how my brain works for books. Like I will, exactly like you said, I will read a book and I will either like learn something from it or have a certain type of character in it or a setting that completely influences what I want to read next. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of more of a chain, like a watercolor
exactly.
chain.
Exactly. It's a chain that gets changed by each thing you want to read. So you might every say like, link. Oh, I want these to be my next three books I read. But then you read the first one and you're like, oh no, 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 no. That second one doesn't make sense anymore.
Exactly.
Something else that I've noticed is what I watch also influences what I want to read. For example, when I first saw Parasite, I was like, oh my God, I want to read something like this. Like I want to read a book that has the same vibe. And I've been hunting for that book ever since. I mean, Earthlings by Sayaka Murata kind of works a little bit for that, but it's not quite the same. So
yeah,
that happens to me all the time where I'll watch a really great movie or a really great TV show. Yes, and I'm like, ooh, agreed. Now I want to read something like action thriller because of this show I just watched.
Right.
So that's another big problem I have. Too many outside influences change my mood for reading all the time, every day.
I totally agree with that. And honestly, I've embraced it. I don't really care. I will occasionally, like, for example, on my YouTube channel a couple months ago, I posted, like, my summer TBR. And I'll be like, these are the sorts of things I'm in the mood for this summer, I think. Like, I'd love to tackle these things this summer. Is that possible? I don't know. I think also, though, it's just fun to make lists.
Oh, 100%.
So, like, I love the idea, the potential of the list.
Yeah,
but so
do this, it would be really cool. I also did this on our Patreon. I made a summer TBR video for our patrons, and
yes,
like I think I've read one, or like I guess I've read one. I'm halfway through the other. Oh, I'm halfway through two of them right now. But it's like that's three books. I had a list of like maybe 12 books. I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna read all of them, even if I stick to the list. There's no way I'll get even close.
But
it was just fun to make that list. Like, for some reason, it was fun to put that out into the universe. I guess this kind of comes into like question two is also about making TBRs. So,
oh yeah, you're right. We should kind of shift into that. We kind of shifted into it by accident. Question number two is, do you set TBR lists and do you stick to them? Yeah, you're totally right. We're talking about this. I'm literally looking at the list of books I said I was going to read this summer.
Yeah.
And first of all, I couldn't tell you. I don't remember what I said. So I'm like, thank God I put them in the description. June 10th is when I posted this. So it has been almost 2 months.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. It's just so funny how I haven't read a single one of these books yet.
Of course.
So, I had Anne of Green Gables on the list. I had a couple, like, I had four Lucy Maud Montgomerys, and I'm sure I didn't think I was gonna read them. I think I was just like, I'm in a Lucy Maud Montgomery mood, which I would say I still am, but I kind of feel like I'm always in that mood. I then had the four Otessa Moshfeghs.
Oh,
so, again, I don't think I'm gonna read all of them this summer, but I think I was just like, I'd like to read one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I then had Felicity by Mary Oliver, which I started and I will definitely finish. So maybe that will be the only one I do. Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck.
That's not going to happen.
Really, that has no confidence in me at all.
I mean, I wouldn't read Grapes of Wrath with all the other books that I have to read. Like, that would not be my first choice.
No, it's not top priority. And then I also, and I've mentioned this on the pod a few times, but I also have purchased and also just previously owned a couple romance reads. I really thought that would be fun to do this summer. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's like the best example I can give of how the question is, do you set TBR lists and stick to them? I set them, but I don't stick to them.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same, but like somewhere in between a little bit, because I'll set them and then I'll often read one or two or three books off of my list and then I start like freaking out a little bit and I'm like, I'm like, do I have to keep reading off of this list I made for myself? And then I'm like, no, of course not. And then I change up the list. Like I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before too, but in my bedroom, I have just like a stack of books that I plan to read soon. And every like month or so, I'll just remove all the ones that I'm like, you know what, maybe I don't want to read this soon, and I'll grab some new books and swap them out. So I have like this ever-changing list, and I only usually end up reading one or two of them before I switch them out, because I go rogue every time. I just like having the list there, but I don't often follow it. Like, it's just nice for me to have it there for some reason. I don't know what that means, but
I totally feel that.
Yeah, that's just how I am.
Question 3. Do books affect you emotionally? Does the mood of a book rub off on you? Emotionally. What do you think?
For myself, it's funny because, like, we talked about how we're mood readers, but I don't think it's, I'm like an emotional reader. Like, it's a two different things.
I agree with that.
Like, I can read a really sad book, and then I'm not like, oh my god, I need to recover, I need to read something happy now. Like, sometimes that might happen, but generally speaking, no. Like, I'll be like, okay, yeah, that was a good book, now I'll read whatever I feel like reading next. So, I don't really get affected emotionally by books too much.
Yeah.
I would say.
I agree with that. I definitely get more affected by movies.
Yes, me too. Movies, oh my god.
Can make me cry. I used to really not cry very much at movies, like, but I don't know, something as I get older, I'm like allowing my emotions to
overtake me. I get destroyed by movies. I watched Billy Elliot and cried the whole time because it was so beautiful and it made me so happy. I was like, why am I crying right now? It was just so beautiful. So, yeah.
That's so funny. I don't cry very often at movies, but I can often feel, like, I do feel the emotion within me.
Yeah, I'm like, I wish I could cry right now. Yes, I think that a lot while I'm reading a sad book.
But I don't get that emotional when I'm reading books. I feel like the thing, this is maybe a little weird, but I do think I mean it. I get more emotional at the craft of a beautifully written sentence. Like, that hits me more than what is happening to the characters. I think I'm, like, too aware of the craft of writing. Like, I'm too aware that they're not real people. They're not real characters. Yeah. They're just characters. Someone wrote them. But I can imagine that writer sitting there and, like, writing that sentence. And I'm like, oh my god. Like, wow. That was well done. Good move. Like, whereas when I'm watching a movie, when it's, like, a really good movie, I forget that they're acting. I forget that there's directors there. Yeah. And I think I get so swept up in it that it feels emotional to me. Whereas, with a book, I don't get that emotional because I know that their characters... It's like I don't get emotional with music either because...
Oh, I do.
I don't know. I know. I know a lot of people do. But, like, I have this really big problem, and I hope I don't give it to everyone listening right now. But I have this really big problem where when I listen to music, I imagine the musician in the recording booth wearing sweatpants and, like, no makeup. And I just imagine them, like, singing a great version of the song, but they're just, like, another human in their comfy pajamas. Like, no one can see them. They're just recording a song.
That's hilarious.
Because of that, I can't feel emotional. Like, and obviously there's exceptions. Of course there's exceptions. But most of the time, it's movies that are, like, the main thing. Or, like, shows. Like,
I totally agree with that.
All right. Number 4, when you're feeling sad, what do you read or do you not read if you're feeling sad?
I love this question. I don't read if I'm sad. Like, if I'm genuinely sad, I can't, like, work up the energy to read.
I agree.
It takes too much brain power for me, and I'd rather just watch a movie that I love.
Yes.
So if I'm sad, honestly, what I do is I just put on Spirited Away. Like, that cures my sadness at least for 2 hours, you know? Like, but no, I can't read.
Totally agree.
Like, I just can't do it. Like, I would rather do anything else but read when I'm sad, which is so interesting because reading is my favorite activity, but I just can't do it.
I agree with that fully. I also can't do it. And I don't know. I think it's probably a very normal response, but when I feel sad, I feel tired, you know, kind of lazy, like no energy. And I'm just like, I just want to lay and watch something or not really have to think about it. So for me, like you said, that's the perfect time to rewatch a movie. Like, when I'm sad, I don't want to play something new. I just want to go somewhere I know feels good.
Exactly.
And that place... It's Pride and Prejudice for Emma. either need Kira or Anya to help me through the pain.
Yep, it's the only way.
So yeah, I don't read when I'm feeling sad. I don't... I have to... This is bad. I think, again, it's just a habit I need to get out of. But, like, I have found that I can only read in a very certain mood. When I'm kind of in a good mood and I feel leisurely, I'm like, okay, I can read right now. But yeah. All right. Question number 5. Most often, do you use reading to escape, to learn, or to critically reflect? Wow. Mm. She's really going to make us pick.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to pick one, I'm definitely an escape reader. Like, I don't really care about critically reflecting. I don't usually want to learn when I'm reading fiction. Like, obviously, you can learn from fiction, but that's not why I read it. You know what I mean? Like, I read it because I want to be entertained. I want to have a good time. I want to, you know, enjoy new characters that I've never seen before. And that, like, that's what I'm looking for, is a great adventure or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I don't really want to learn.
Leave your learning out. Raylene doesn't care.
Exactly. I already know everything I need to know. I don't want to learn anymore. Thank you very much.
That's so funny. Yeah, I guess, obviously, like, it's a tag. It's not like these are the only three options.
Oh, yeah, true.
You can only pick one. You can't do a mixture of them. So obviously, working within the bounds, I don't read to escape. I've realized this. Like, a lot of people are like, I just love to escape into literature. They're like, I like to read, especially with genre fiction, you know, like reading romances or reading action plots or stuff like that. Or like a lot of YA where it's plot heavy. People like love reading those in the same way that you watch movies, kind of fast and you're there to like get away from your own life. I think I did that more as a teenager. I don't really do that anymore. I agree with the learning thing. Unless it's nonfiction, I'm definitely not picking up the book because I'm like, you know, right now we're both reading 100 Years of Solitude for our book club. I didn't pick that up thinking to myself, I can't wait to learn about South American family dynamics, right? Like, like, I picked that up because I'm like, I'm so curious to know why this is a classic in the literature canon, and I can't wait to see what happens here. But what I will say is that I love learning about the writing process. Like, that is something I love. I love like that. So I don't know if that counts as learning.
Maybe but a little, because you also like learning about the author.
Yes.
Like, with certain authors, obviously, that you've really kind of dived into, like, that you want to learn all about them. And that kind of affects your reading of their fiction as well, or their nonfiction, whatever they might write. Yes. So I think I think that if you had to pick one, it seems like a mixture of learning and critically reflecting, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the critical reflection thing, I guess I'm like sort of like, what exactly do we mean by that? Maybe I'm not understanding that one enough. But yeah, the learning one is maybe the one I'm catching on to the most. But I feel like it's, I'm mainly like excited to learn about how this writer, whatever writer I'm about to jump into, is going to craft this thing, you know? But now that I sound like a pretentious douchebag, let's move on to number 6. What is a book that made you laugh out loud?
This one is good. I tried to think of one that was like a recent read, and I couldn't, like, one wasn't coming to mind. So I went with an old classic for me, which is Me and Earl and the Dying Girl by Jesse Andrews. This is like the most Raylene book that exists. If people ever followed me when I made BookTube videos, I talked about this book a lot.
Yeah, I remember.
I discovered it and I read it and I instantly became obsessed with it, and I reread it like 2 or 3 times right after because it was just so awesome. Good.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh so many times. And like, I just remember lying there for, you know, a few hours. I read the whole book in one sitting. It was just like laughing every few pages. It just got me so good. I don't know what about that book really just made sense to me, but it made me laugh a lot. But then it was also emotional and sad, so like it did hit me in a lot of different ways. So I feel like a book can be funny and sad and make a person like me, who's not really emotional, actually feel emotional while I'm reading a book. So that one really did a lot of things for me. I love that book.
The one that I thought of by the time that this episode comes out, we can talk about the books we've read for the Books Unbound movie. And so it's Upstream by Mary Oliver.
Oh.
There are, it's just something about Mary Oliver really tickles me, where I'm just like, she is such a loon in a beautiful, beautiful way. I have this theory, Raylene, that Mary Oliver is Anne of Green Gables.
Oh.
Like, because she just like goes into nature and like spends her time, like, she's like, as a kid, I would build a lot of stick huts. And I'm like, yeah, you would, Mary. Yes,
that makes sense for you.
I know. And like in Upstream, she talks about how she like knew this like family of ducks and like would lay down in the sand near them for like weeks to the point where they would like walk over her. And I'm like, yeah. You're such a lunatic. But like, beautiful. I love it. But it made me laugh a couple of times throughout the book in like a really delighted way, where I'm like, oh, Mary,
yeah, you're that's funny.
That's cute. But yeah, the next book is question is, what is a book that has made you cry, or if you don't cry specifically, one that really moved you?
Okay, I picked two for this because I have one that I've read a few times and has made me cry every time, and then also one that I read recently. So the one that I've read a few times and it always makes me cry is Wonder by R.J. Palacio. I've talked about this before, but this book is like my most relatable book that I've ever read. Like, there's so much about this book that just is like stemmed directly from my life. That's just like, whoa, this is crazy. And so just like in that, it makes me emotional. But then there is kind of a tragedy near the end of the book that's just like, oh, just like gets me every time. So that one always makes me cry, but like mostly in a happy way. And then the other one is Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zauner.
Oh, right. Well, that's funny.
And she's, I listened to this on audiobook.
You're crying. Everyone's,
I know,
crying.
We were all crying together. But it was funny because like, obviously, the whole book is about her reflecting on her relationship with her mom and her mom passing away and her kind of having to deal with all of that. And it was, but so the whole book is technically kind of sad, but I didn't cry throughout the entire book. There was just like a couple of moments where she just like talks about something that her mom used to do, or like, you know, something funny about her, and it just like made me emotional.
Yeah, that crap is too much.
It was just like, oh man, like, oh, that's so sad. Like, but it was beautiful, like sad in a beautiful way. So
sure.
Yeah. Oh, good cry, man.
Oh boy. I speaking of stuff that makes us cry, the movie that makes me cry like the most, About Time.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah, that one gets me.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's kind of like a parental death subplot-ish thing, where it's like, that is probably my main trigger now for like, if a movie or a book has that element, I'm like, I'm lost. Goodbye. Yeah. I'm not
I
here.
Agree.
I'm
About too Time emotional. Gets me every time, and I've seen it many, many times.
I've only seen it once because I cried so hard I couldn't handle it. I was like, this is just way too much. But a book that's made me cry, one that hasn't in a really long time.
Mm.
There has been a couple, though. The two that like always pop into my mind are whoa, there's a giant plane in the sky. My God. That was like, what is that? And I looked up and it looks like weirdly close. Anyways, Charlotte's Web. God damn it.
I'll get you.
I can't handle it. And then the other one, I don't even want to talk about it. It's too sad. And then the other one is Room by Emma Donahue.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's funny because that was, like, maybe I just had a sad year in 2013, 14. But, like, I really remember, that happened in the same house, I think. I was walking my dog, Eddie. Great dog. I was walking Eddie and I was listening to an audiobook of Room. And I mean, again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but like a climax moment near the end of the book happens.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, tears. I was like, it was like a little seal broke within. It was funny, too, because I had just started using the library there, and I had discovered the audiobook section. This was, like, mm-hmm. before, this was, like, almost 10 years
ago. I actually remember all of this. Like, I even know what type of audiobook you got. I remember yes! this moment.
Yes! Oh, my God! Yes, that's what I was about to explain. I was like, this was before I used Libby, or maybe even before, like, apps and audiobooks were really a thing. But, like, I had gone to the library, and they had these, like, hard, it was almost like a Blu-ray case, but, like, way thicker. And then you opened it, and it was basically, like, a dedicated MP3 player.
Yeah.
Just for an audiobook, which, now that I think back, is absurd, but there you go.
I listened to a whole bunch of those back in the day.
Yeah, and they had, like, little
It was better
lanyards.
Than CDs, because it was like, oh, it's portable. Like, you could just pop your headphones into it.
Yeah, so way better than CDs. It had, like, a lanyard, and I would just, like, go on walks and plug my headphones in and listen to the book. But anyways, that was the last time I really remember crying. I both of those books really messed me up. But nothing has really hit me that hard. But, you know, it might just be that, like, I'm avoiding sad books. Like,
yeah, I might be doing that, too, because I have a feeling that A Little Life will destroy me and make me cry a lot, because that's what I hear happens to everybody who reads it. So... And also, I feel like that one will hit a little close to home for certain reasons. And I'm just like, oh, God, I think it's really going to destroy me and make me cry a lot.
I don't even want to try. I don't even want to try.
It's like, I do, but I don't, but I also do. Like, I like crying. It's a weird thing to think about. But like, it's a good release. It feels good to cry. So it's not like a bad thing.
No, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't, especially when it's like about a character or something. It's usually like... You're learning something or you're empathizing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question 8. What is a book that you didn't even know how you felt about? I love this question because I know what they mean, you know?
Yeah.
What'd you pick?
Well, I thought of two for this one as well because, yeah, I have a couple. So the first one I read, I think, in October of last year, and that was Under the Skin by Michelle Faber.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I remember that.
Yeah. And this one, like, I still don't know how I felt about it because I love the idea of the book and, like, just thinking about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's such a cool book. But while I was actually reading it, I was like, it took me a really long time to read it and it's not a very long book. I just felt like I kind of had to slog my way through it. But after the fact, I'm like, oh, but it was so good. But, like, I didn't really enjoy the reading experience. So was
that's
it good?
That's interesting.
So that's kind of how I felt about that one. And then another more recent one that I'm, like, not 100% sure how I feel about is Eleanor Rigby by Douglas Coupland. Because this one, when I talk about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I really like that book. But it was the same kind of thing. Like, while I was reading it, I was like, oh, this isn't that good. But, like, I like it. It's fun. But it's not, like, it wasn't a game changer. You know, it wasn't, like, doing anything super unique or super special. But I had a good time while reading it. So it's kind of I probably won't read it again. But I kind of liked it when I read it. So I don't know. It's I don't really know how I felt about either of those books.
That's really... I agree. And that's... I mean, I'm about to say very similar things to what you just said. Because I guess that's the point where we're just like, what happened there?
Yeah.
The first one that definitely comes to mind is The Vegetarian by Han Kang.
Oh, for me too. I agree with that one.
I'm still sort of like, huh?
It's one that just, like, makes you think about it after, totally. But you didn't really like, right? I feel like that's 100%. kind of what we're looking at here.
Yeah, when I finished it, I was super like, I could write an essay about this. Like, there's a lot that I found interesting, but I don't think I enjoyed it. But I did find it compelling. Like, I did finish it.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the finishing note of that book, I was sort of like, do I like how that ended? I'm not sure. Like, yeah. Anyway, it was a very confusing time for me. Mm-hmm. The other one is, especially, like, looking back on it, is Weather by Jenny Offal.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know how I feel about that book. I don't know if I liked it or not. I almost forget it.
Yeah, like, that's another thing. It's like, what happened? I'm like, did I read that?
Did I read that? I feel like I almost didn't. And, like, I know I remember reading it. I know I read it. But I'm like, I think I need to reread that or try another book of hers. I also own Department of Speculation by her. So I definitely, like, want to try more of her stuff. But that genre of autofiction, I'm very intrigued by, and I want to try a lot more of that style of stuff, But it's kind of forgettable because it's so fragmented.
Yeah.
It's like written in like these tiny paragraphs. I also just want to apologize for like all of these insane Toronto drivers. I'm sure you can hear all these like crazy freaking Porsches out there, and it's just like, yeah, guys, we get it. You have a big car. That's great. But anyways, there's nothing I can do about it. But yeah, I just, the autofiction genre, it's so fragmented. It's super like nebulous and like sort of tries to be objective in a weird way, where it's like very separated, almost the opposite of intimate.
Hmm.
And so when you look back and think about it, you're like, what is there to hold on to? I don't really remember exactly what happened. So it's kind of a hard genre to link to.
Yeah. Slippery.
That's, yeah, it is a little slippery. All right. Question number 9. Are you more likely to read on a sunny day or a cloudy day? I love this question. That's fun.
I love it too. This one was easy for me. I choose cloudy all the way. I mean, rainy would be even better. Just because I really dislike the heat. Yes. I don't like being hot. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Yes. And when I'm uncomfortable, I don't want to read because I'm upset.
I'm upset. 50,000 on my head is disrespect. That's just a little drink. It's a little drink for you, Rayleigh.
Okay, I was like, oh, I don't know that one. I'm not too familiar with my man Drake.
I'm in the six right now. I have to represent. I'm so sorry to everyone that happened.
I like that. That I really hope that stays in the episode. That was beautiful. CJ, don't edit that out. But yeah, I can connect more to cloudy / gray skies / rain. Yeah. Like as a weather, that's just more my vibe.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's so much nicer for me to be cold and you can't get bundled up and can put on nice socks and can get some tea. Whereas when it's hot, it's like all I can think about is how to get colder, and I don't want to read. So for me, cloudy weather 1000% is much better. And like trying to read on a beach or something, impossible. Like I just can't do it. That might work for some people, but I find that I can't focus when it's hot and when there's you know, people and noises and I like reading outside, but I find I don't read as much as I do when I'm inside. I don't know why.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I'm having a hard time thinking about what the hell my reading habits are now that I've moved house.
Yeah.
Just because, I moved into this house basically like end of November, beginning of December last year. So it was like winter time, but there was like literally no furniture, inflatable mattresses, giant renovation zone. Over the last like 8 months, things have gotten slowly better, but I still don't feel like I'm in the swing of the house. It's a lot of renovation still, a lot of like cosmetic stuff. And I'm like, finally, I have an office and I have a bedroom and I just finished the living room. And so really, I got to sit on that couch for like 20 minutes before I flew away from the couch. And I have not gotten to enjoy that living room. Sad. And like my family keeps sending me photos of them in the living room. And I'm like, damn, that looks nice.
I really wish I were there right now.
So I'm like excited to see like, will that impact my reading? Maybe I'll want to read there.
Yeah, having a nice place to read, I think, is a big part of this.
Really changes it. And so like when I think about in the last few years, what was the best reading conditions? And it was when I lived in British Columbia and I would throw a blanket out on the lawn and read in the sun. That was bliss. So like my impulse answer is that I was so happy when it was a sunny day and I was like, yes. And I'd go out and I'd throw my blanket out and I'd pop my dad bought me this big umbrella and he like hammered a tube into the grass so I could just like pop the umbrella in there. And I would just lay out there and I'd read poetry and I read all these great books. It was such a good summer of reading. And then we got evicted and I moved. And so it was just, my parents are like, stop saying you got evicted. Evicted means you did something wrong. And I'm like, I want to emphasize the drama of the situation.
You were just asked to move.
Yes. The landowner, the landlord sold the house and made us leave. But anyways, everything then happened. And I feel like I haven't gotten back in a swing of things since that beautiful summer of reading. So all of that to say, I think it's the summer for me, but it will, I think, I feel like I'm about to figure that out a little bit. As my house becomes a more comfy place for reading, as I start to have, like, I have property, like, I have, but I don't have a porch. There's no, like, current, like, nice place for me to read outside. So, anyway, I've got a lot of figuring out to do, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need to know everything, but there you go.
Yeah, that's
number right. 10. This is, I'm actually very interested to hear your answer to this, because I feel like some people have very specific answers, but...
Yeah.
Do you usually set the mood, in quotation marks, set the mood when you read? For example, music, lights, smells, camera, action! Do you have a thing? Do you want... Is there certain things that make it better for reading? Maybe not every time.
Like,
you send me a lot of photos, for example, of you reading at work. So I know you also, like, you read on the go. At your lunch and stuff.
Yeah, but it's not my preferred way, because at work, like, I'm in a lunchroom that's kind of, like, in the middle of the office almost. Like, it has a door, obviously, but it's very central. And so if everybody in the office is talking and things, like, I can hear all of them. So have to, like, listen to music while I'm at work reading. So that's not my preferred way. My ideal situation, this is the way I like it best. Because I'm just, like, thinking back to a certain time in my life where I was like, okay, home alone. Nobody else is around.
Ooh, yeah.
It's nighttime.
Rare for me.
Yeah,
rare
exactly.
For both for of me, us right now.
The best thing is to be home alone, because even just hearing someone talking takes me out of my perfect reading zone.
I agree.
I like dead silence. If it's completely silent, that is perfect. All I want to hear is the crackling of a candle. So yes, smells. I always light a candle. I am obsessed with candles. I am a candle fiend. So for me, dead silence except for candle. It smells great because I've got a candle. There's nobody around. I like having not a lot of light on. Like, I prefer for, like, my surroundings to be dark and to have, like, a really good lamp that's just, like, focusing on me.
Good,
to be in a really
lighting.
Comfy chair that can recline.
Mm,
and recline, to have a nice drink, like tea. Like tea or water or whatever. But tea is the best.
That's the perfect drink, huh?
Yeah, that's my perfect reading situation.
I love that. I feel like I sort of answered this a little bit in the last question in saying, like, I have not found it yet.
Yeah.
I don't know what the good reading scenario in this current house is yet.
Right.
Maybe it's that living room. It's also overcomplicated by the fact that, like, because of the pandemic, everyone is in the house at all times. So it's like, right now, where have I been reading? I've been reading a bit in bed, a bit on my chair in my room, a bit in my office. I haven't been reading very much this year. And it's in large part because I have not found that isolated bliss where I can just, like, read for an hour on my own, right? It just hasn't happened yet. But what I'm imagining is perfect bliss for me.
Give me a perfect picture.
If I could just, Raylene, it would be more of a situation where it's daytime. I'm imagining a sunny day. So maybe I am more on the sunny thing. I'm imagining a sunny day with, like, some windows open, so I'm getting a little bit of a breeze and I can hear the birds. It's quiet, very quiet, like you said, and I'm laying on the couch. And I think, like you, I have a cup of tea at hand.
Yeah.
A very similar bliss would be the exact same scenario, but on a porch or something.
Like, I do love a good porch. I've never had a porch of my own to read on, but that's my dream, is to have, like, a beautiful outdoor area with, like, outdoor couches, kind of, and, like, maybe
Me
a fireplace or something,
and
for it to be covered.
This.
Yeah, like a covered patio, so it could be raining and you could be outside, a well-lit patio. That would be the actual dream
100%.
For me, because I do like being outside and I love smelling the outside air and getting fresh air and smelling and hearing the rain if it's raining. Like, that to me is perfect. So that's even better than dead silence would be rain sounds.
Oh yeah, like I agree with that. For me, like, bird sounds,
that's nice.
That is so lovely. I think God damn it. I was about to say, I think that's going to be, like, I want that to be the next project that I do at my house. But there's so many things I have to do. I keep saying that. I say that, like, 80 yeah. times a day. I'm like, yeah, that's the next thing I want to do. And I'm like, hold on, I've committed to 40 things. but, like, definitely in the next few months or by next summer, I really want to have a beautiful porch that I yeah. that is screened in so the bugs will exactly. leave me alone.
Keep them away.
And that has a roof so that it, like you said, it can rain, but I can, or it can be like really hot sun, but I can still be outside. I actually, mm-hmm. there's these people, I don't know, down the road from me that live in this gorgeous old house. Like it looks like a creepy old kind of mansion-y house, but they have a really big porch and they have ceiling fans outside. And ooh. I'm like, they figured it out. Those they've people got it going are on. So genius. So I really would love to have like some ceiling fans and like fairy lights and mm-hmm. some comfy couch, like outdoor couches. Ah, oh, shit. It sounds lovely. all right. Our final question. Number 11. Can you leap? Oh, I love this question. Sorry. I read these questions a really long time ago and I totally forgot about them. So I keep being delighted by all the questions. Can you leap from book to book or do you need buffer time between them? And I kind of have two answers for this, but you should go first.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it kind of depends for me. Like sometimes I'll be on a roll yeah. and I can just read book after book after book and not yeah. stop. But I've found lately, every time I finish a book, I'm like, oh man, what do I read now? And it's like, it's not even because of the previous book. Like, it's not because of the previous book I read affecting me in some kind of way. Like, oh, I need to process this before I move on. It's usually just like, I have such a hard time picking what to read next that I end up taking longer than I want to pick the next book. Like, I would love to just blast through tons of books, but every time I finish a book, I'm like, okay. Now I need to take a couple hours to figure out what I'm in the mood for. Often I'll end up picking like 3 to 5 books off of my shelf. I show them right. to Kyle and say, pick one for me. And then he'll pick one and I'll either go, that's perfect, yes. Or I'll go, I don't know. I think I'll just pick a different one. And then so like, it's a very imperfect system and it's not good. It's not how I want to do it. But sure. sometimes that's my problem is having too many options. Like I get so overwhelmed and I currently yeah. have too many options. Because as we all know, I've been buying a lot of books lately.
This must be a record year for you, right?
Seriously, and I was trying to do the opposite. I was really trying yeah, it's so to true. Be good.
It's so true.
And I have to have bought year. Like at least 100 books this year. Like I've at been insane.
I think it might be more. I'd love for you to count at some point.
I should really look that through would be very interesting. The. Yeah, I mean, the closest way I can do that would be to look at our website and count all the ones I know I purchased. But I haven't yeah. even mentioned every single book I've purchased. Like, there have been a couple that I'm like, it's not worth mentioning. So I think I will count.
Yeah, that's...
the next time we record, I'll have an answer for you.
That's so funny. Christ. I sort of have two answers for this question. Just because, like, I feel like the question is basically being, like, once you finish a book... how long does it take you to start another book? And like you said, it can depend. Sometimes I'll be on like this epic run and I'm just yeah. like plowing through books and I'm like, nothing can stop me. I'm unstoppable. I find that especially happens to me with graphic novels. Like I will often read like 3 in a row and yeah. I love that feeling. It's just like a little sprint where good. I go yeah. boom, 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 go get right through them. But yeah, sometimes it can be weeks between a book for me. Especially lately, just because there's so many things. Like, usually if I'm not working, I'm sleeping. And if I'm not sleeping and or taking a nap, I'm working on the house. So it's been a lot harder for me to find those moments to read. But the other reason I feel like I have a slightly secondary answer to this is, like, this could also mean, do I read multiple books at the same time? Yeah. And we all know I do. I'm in the middle of like 14 books right now. Yeah. And that's just how I live my life. And it's just how I read books. And like, clearly, I'm not actually in the middle of all those books. Like, I don't think yeah, of all of those books. You're on, like,
break
books.
From a lot of them.
I'm on break. I'm on hiatus. I might come back. I might never come back. And I'm, like, totally okay with that. And I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of... the internet can sometimes have a very completionist attitude, which makes mm-hmm. sense because, like, people, it's like if you mention a book, people want to know what happens, or like, did you actually exactly. finish it? What did you actually think of it? And I'm like, I'm gonna, and people know this, I'm gonna mention a lot of books I don't finish, and that's just because that's how I am as a reader, and that's mm-hmm. how I am as a person. And so I feel like I want to remove as much pressure from myself, because I'm like, I'm not going to change the way I read just because people on the internet want me to tell them what I thought of a book. I'm like, I didn't finish it. Maybe in 20 years I will. I don't know. Maybe.
And I mean, you're lucky because we know that the podcast listeners don't care. They are happy to just hear us talk. You don't even have to read a book. They'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
They've told us that. It's the truth. I'm not just saying it.
We have proof. Well, that was the tag. That was so much fun.
Yeah, it was. We should do this again for sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely do some more tags in the future. Like, I know we've done another tag in the, it was a while ago now, but we did do another one. Yeah. So I will link that in the show notes. And like I mentioned before, I will link the video that I saw for this tag and the original creator in the show notes if you guys want to check that out. See the origin story of this tag. Mm-hmm. We are now going to go off to record our Patreon mini podcast, Books Unbucket. The more I think about it, I'm like, that's such a dumb name. This question comes from Sophie on our Discord. Sophie asks, what novelist would you want to see attempt poetry? What do you think that their themes or styles or poems would be like? For example, would Stephen King be able to evoke creepy, dark vibes like Edgar Allan Poe? This is a wild question. We'll go have some fun trying to decipher this boy. And we will talk to all of you guys next week. Goodbye!
Bye!